welcome to What's the Buzz About? A podcast where I watch movies and drink and review them for you because apparently that's more fun than watching them themselves. This week, we have a classic, Galaxy Quest. So sit back, relax, and enjoy me making a fool out of myself. Stupid. I think that was a mixture between this actual Galaxy Quest song that I'm trying to sing and a Star Wars song. Was that on purpose? I feel like they should remake this, but where the Tool Man Taylor and Monk are on the ship and they're just trying to coexist with each other. There's no aliens, it's just pretty much Monk going crazy. Oh, R.I.P. Alan Rickman. It's so hard to feel bad for these characters who are TV stars and hate their jobs when, let's face it, what about the rest of us who aren't on TV and just have to show up every day? Oh, Tim Allen. When you were a person. Oh, I never noticed how adorable their star outfits are with the little planet on them. Can I get one of those? Okay, so Tim Allen ditches this very public event to go to some guy's basement with some weird set and just goes into the bot. Oh my god. How I would never do that. It seems like he made a bad decision. Okay, I don't understand why they're not, like, just enjoying this more. They have to do nothing except go to these shows every once in a while. And he says, if I have to say that bloody line one more time, what? Your condo's paid for? Really, what's the problem? Sam Rockwell does not get enough credit. Forgot how much I love Sam Rockwell in this movie. The only thing this movie so far is making me want is to be at one of these conventions. All of the fans look like they're having so much fun. Okay, hashtag Me Too movement, bro. Mr. Tim Allen, who's all up on Sigourney Weaver. Like, no. Oh, Veronica Mars's dad. Oh, and Dwight. I honestly forget who's in this movie. Ah! He pokes his little belly. Mum. Okay, I'm doing a very bad job of explaining what's going on. But currently, they're still in the convention center, and these little weird aliens just came up to them and are like, hey, we need you for a mission. And he completely ignores them and just says, like, okay, is this about tomorrow? Hit me up then. Mum's the word. Mum. It's really cute. You actually should watch it yourself. Oh, okay. So here is the awkward scene of the movie when he goes into the bathroom stall and then these little, like, turds come out and they talk shit about him. Which sucks. But I hate awkward parts of movies. It's just like, my life is awkward enough. I'm a very awkward person. I don't need to relive awkwardness in a movie as well. So I just pretend that this part normally doesn't exist. Okay, it's still awkward. Awkward. Still going on. Okay, it's over. So he's just nonchalantly now signing autographs, pretending like he doesn't care because two teenagers said something bad about him. You know what? Those teenagers don't make any money. He makes lots of money. What does it matter what those teenagers have to say, huh? Justin Long. Don't be mean to Justin Long. His name is Justin Long. He has enough problems. Okay, so Tim Allen just has his, like, little temper tantrum and walks out on what looks like to be thousands of people. And now all of his little friends are just kind of, like, talking about them on, talking about him on their phones. And Alan Rickman is still wearing this not bald cap, opposite of a bald cap, like, scaly cap. and is just bad-mouthing him all over town.
That was a Friends reference.
Oh, yeah. I feel so bad for Tim Allen, who's in his huge Malibu mansion with windows from head to toe, drinking alone. Yeah, that looks great. Who would be drinking alone? That's just pathetic. Poor Timmy. Okay, so he wakes up from what looks like to be a wicked hangover. And again, like I mentioned, his house is made out of glass. So these little alien figures that were mentioned earlier in the movie come over and do this like little side twist thing. Like, hey, you're on the ground, so we're going to pretend like we're on the ground. And I could totally see myself doing that in real life. I've probably done that today. Alcohol. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So he says, please, Commander, you are our last hope, but in an adorable way. And obviously it's trying to rip off Star Wars, which, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope. But this guy delivers it in such a way that you really just want to be there for it. Like, where's the Oscar for him? Enrico Calatoni. Where's his Oscar for, please help us, you're our last hope? Come on. That is classic. Okay, so they're in this limo. And they're going to the spaceship, which Tim Allen obviously doesn't know is real. And Missy Pyle's translator is broke. So she's just like, and how many of us do not wish that we could totally just say that in awkward situations and people be like, okay, let's not talk to her. That would be amazing. Can I do that at work? It's amazing how fast you can run out of booze when you're trying to get buzzed. Hence the name of the show. Oh no. It's Saris. Okay. So FYI, this movie, it didn't win any Oscars. But, like, the acting's on point, the believability's on point, and the special effects are, I'm not going to say they're on point, but they are fun. Set it on screensaver, too. Okay, so, sorry, I'm really bad at this right now. So, he's on this real ship, which he doesn't think is a real ship, and Saris, the bad guy, is all like, hey, I want to talk to you. And so he's like, all right, set it on screensaver too, because he doesn't know that space and stuff is real. So Saris is all like, I'm a bad guy, and Tim Allen's all like, I'ma drink my drink, which is Coca-Cola period. So he's drinking it, and Saris is just like, blah 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 blah. And Tim Allen is like, let's throw the torpedoes at him. Let's do it, okay? And they do it. But that's a bad move. As I'm hoping all of you know, because you've all seen this movie. And if you're looking for me to actually review this movie, go somewhere else. Because this is not what this is. This is for you guys to listen to what you already know by someone who has had a couple of cocktails. Champagne, to be exact. Okay, so Tim Allen's on this space boat, and he thinks he saves these people's planet because he orders some proton torpedoes at Saris and his crew. So he wants to go back home. So then this, like, gloopity-gloppy glue comes over him, and he can be transported into space without a problem because physics. And then he gets sent, like, looks like light years away back to Earth. He has been in this spaceship for probably like 10 minutes between the whole limo ride and like getting in and then being like, hey, this is where's like my script and stuff. I don't think they would have even gotten off the ground, let alone half the way to Timbuktu. Seriously. So he glibbity gloops back to Earth and he's just like, oh my god. Glibbity gloop. his crew is that like some Best Buy type of store selling some shit. By Grapthal's Hammer. What a savings. Can somebody not be bad to Jay? Like, not be mean to Justin Long? He is America's sweetheart. I don't care who says otherwise. He is America's sweetheart. You only feel bad or, like, you want to be there for Justin Long. Like, you don't, no one wants bad things to happen to Justin Long. I guess that's why they cast him as the person who bad things happen to. Because nobody wants bad things to happen to Justin Long. Oh. Another awkward situation. Okay, so Tim Allen, back on Earth. Everyone thinks he's a little crazy. He tries to convince his crew that, like, hey, I just went to space. And they're like, you know what? No, we already have one of the little transponder corresponders, because we were on a TV show. And he was just saying, you know what? No, this was real life. And long story short, they all end up on the ship with him. Oh, Tim Allen sounds like me. It's not a fan, this is a termite. With such confidence. Tony Shalhoub. You are not Tim Allen's bitch. You go on to be on Monk, and then the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I hear is good, but I haven't watched. Is this the one where Sigourney Weaver beats up aliens? Or is that Alien? Or Aliens? Or Galaxy Quest? Do I hear typecast? Okay, so I already made mention to Sam Rockwell, because let's face it, Sam Rockwell is an American treasure. At least I think he's from America. I don't know. Fact checked. But his name is freaking Guy. Like, his just name is Guy.
Okay, so
fast forward a bit. Not really. But the rest of the crew is on the ship. They get googly gooped up onto the ship. And instead of having, like, the warm welcome that Tim Allen had, of course, these really weird alien, like, probey people come up to them and are just, like, probing in their face. And they are actually handling it so much chiller than I would. They're not screaming or anything yet. And I think I might just fall over and die. But then they turn into their human forms because they, like, remember to do that. One of my favorite parts of this whole movie. It's just what Sam Rockwell is just screaming. Because you know what? We all would. And then in the same 30-second period, Tony Shalhoub's just like, he comes in. Hey, what's up, guys? Oh my god. Tony Shalhoub. Okay. So I just had a drink break, which won't make sense to you guys because I'm going to edit all of this bad crap out. So, I have a new drink. I mean, it's the same drink. It's just refilled. So, all of the crew people from Alienville are greeting all of the people from, like, B-side Actorville. Yeah. And they're so freaking cute. Because we really know that it's all really on Tim Allen. And everyone else is just side characters. And Sigourney Weaver. Because, you know what? How much of us relate to her and her one job on the ship? It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it. You know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. Dot, dot, dot. I know we're all kind of, like, making fun of these alien guys for the historical documents. And you guys can't see it because it's a podcast. Definitely finger air quoted that. But maybe, and I'm not going to say anything, maybe don't make fun of that for the historical documents that they found lying around in a cave somewhere. Okay, I'm sorry. But I'm going to take a little clarity break here. There. Actors, paid actors, and they, for whatever the duration of their little show was, showed up on set, got a paycheck, learned some lines, got their hair done, got their makeup all set, and they just, like, they were just on set. So, now they're all, like, super glad when they see that this is all real. They see that the environment's real, that the ship is real, and they have some sort of, like, coming to Jesus moment. I would be so much happier just showing up to a set in Burbank or wherever every day of my life, reading some lines, eating a salad for lunch, getting my hair done, or makeup, or whatever. I don't want to be in space. Oh, no, that's a lie. I really do want to go to space. Kind of. I want, like, a million other people to go to space before I go to space. And then I'll go to space and check it out for myself. But I don't want to be, like, test subject number 2. I want to be, like, test subject 1,000,075. So I would be a little more freaked out than Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, and Guy. More power to him. Does anyone else ever blow on a drink that's not hot or cold? It's just there. I just like to see it move sometimes. No? Just me? I overshared. Okay. So, like I was just saying, I would not actually want to be in a space situation, but everyone's really strongly becoming accustomed to their situations pretty fast. It's like, oh my god, this is just how it used to be on the show. You know what? No, I'd still be crying in a corner somewhere. But I guess that's what makes this a movie. And that just a Thursday night. Daryl Weber. Scratch that. Daryl Mitchell is his real name, not a combination of his real name and his fictitious name. Daryl Mitchell is driving this spaceship. And it's making some scratches. And everyone's looking like, sorry. This is embarrassing. He navigated this frickin' spaceship, guys. He's an actor, if anyone doesn't remember, which they should. And everyone looks like a little embarrassed for him. This is where me and movie universe differs, because I'd probably be standing up, jumping up and down, clapping like I just found a Tootsie Roll under my cushion. Like, holy crap. Okay, now they start clapping for him once he's actually out. But none of his actual crew do. It's all the alien people that do. And let's give Daryl Mitchell a little bit more of a praise for that. Okay, another movie where Alan Rickman gets the raw end of the deal, where he has to eat bugs because apparently it's programmed from his, like, DNA that he's from this planet that eats bugs, where Tim Allen eats a freaking steak. Can I just say again, R.I.P. Alan Rickman? Aw, their poor little faces when nobody knows what the Omega 13 is. Oh, that I've never noticed before, but this really, really blue liquid that they're all drinking looks amazingly refreshing. And I wouldn't mind some of that. Okay, spoiler alert, but not really, because if you've ever seen a movie, you know that everything in a movie needs to be in a movie for it to make the cut to be in the movie. So they're talking about the Omega 13 and how if it could do something great or it could obliterate all matter in the universe. Hey, heads up, that's gonna come back later in the climax of the movie. Spoiler alert. Okay, also, these bros are way too cool watching their alien friend in a flashbacky type scene being murdered by Saris and just being like, hey, bro, if you could stop torturing me and just kill me, that'd be cool. And they just kind of look at each other like, hey, this is what we're up against. And of course, Tim Allen's whole little crew just starts running away. Who wouldn't run away? They don't know how to be in space. They don't know how to deal with Saris. Yet, that's exactly what they have to do because they were all jealous of Tim Allen and his publicity. But you know what? That was where they made their first mistake. Just go home. Enjoy your life. Go to the Malibu. Nope. Go to Hollywood Hills. Just, like, dig it. Don't always be concerned about what the other person has. Just be okay with what you have. Or something like that. I don't know. Maybe there's a moral story in there, but I don't know what it is. So now we come to the 35th minute of this movie. And Tim Allen's gonna try the whole Gosh darn it. We give up, Saris. You're the king of the world. Or universe. Or whatever makes sense in this scenario. And he's going to talk crap about Saris while he thinks he's on mute. Because he knows how to work space electronics. I don't even know how to work normal electronics. And I grew up in the digital world. Because I'm a digital girl. Anyways, that's material. Never mind. So, he's all like, I know how to defeat Saris. This is how. And oops, he saw me the whole time. No. Everyone in this situation would be peeing their pants right now. No one would be as cocky as Tim Allen unless you're maybe Tim Allen and you're on cocaine. I'm sorry. I love you, Tim Allen. Red thingy moving towards the green thingy. I think we're the green thingy. Gosh, Sam Rockwell, you were just gypped of an Oscar. That sounded sarcastic, but it wasn't. So, there's all these, like, bomby things going towards the Galaxy Quest ship. And Saris is feeling pretty good about himself right now because bombs and stuff. And Tony Shalhoub is just a freaking darling again. He's super calm. He's in the operating control room thing. Engineering space. And he's just explaining how, hey, all of these things are screwing with the ship. And none of this matters except for how adorable Tony Shalhoub is. And I'm just going to say it again. Tony Shalhoub for president. 21? What year are we in? So the Galaxy Quest crew. Wow, a lot of G's and Q's, which is not alliteration because they are different letters, but they kind of seem the same, so I'm going to go with it. Are flying through this minefield of electronic mines that are attaching and not attaching, that's a lie. They are hitting into the ship and they're just getting all this damage. But hey, FYI, this is important later because they'll use it at a different time to do something better and cooler than they do at the whatever mark, the 42nd minute mark. It'll come up again, as most things do. And it'll be badass back then. Up there in the future of space and time and movies. This does really bring me to one of my favorite parts of the movie. Two favorite parts of the movie. Because they are all sitting around this table talking about what the damage is done from this minefield while they're trying to get away from Saris. And they're all trying to figure out everything that's wrong. So this computer is saying this is bad and this is bad and like this sphere is damaged and they really need a sphere to function. And Sigourney Weaver is repeating everything what the computer says and the crew is getting a little annoyed with it. Like, we can hear him and it's really getting annoying. And I have said this way more in my professional career than I'd like to admit, but she just yells at everyone and says, I have one job on this ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it. And I have quoted that several times in the corporate world, because sometimes you have a job and it's stupid, but you're gonna do it. And I really feel Sigourney Weaver in that moment. And that's why I'm shouting you out. And I'm dedicating this 43 minute mark to you, Sigourney Weaver. But this brings me to the beginning of one of my favorite scenes of this movie. Because let's face it, it's all amazing at this moment, especially with my rendition of it. But they're gonna go mining for a sphere on a planet that I don't know the name of, nor am I gonna learn. And it is going to have all these little alien creatures on it that are going to look cute. But they're not, and they're evil. Let's watch. Okay, I got a little ahead of myself. Because Tony Shalhoub is being amazing at being like, okay, we found some beryllium on a nearby planet. We might be able to get there. And then he just starts making up, like, it's not making up stuff, he's just repeating things that his little, like, people have told him. And, oh my god, he's such a good little leader. He's like, you're right again. You did it, guys. Group hug. That's all I'm asking for. A little bit of group hug every now and then. Now and again. Now and then. I don't know what to say. So now this is one of my favorite scenes. It's the whole, let's go get a beryllium sphere on a planet with, like, aliens on it. And a group of people who have absolutely no business going on to this planet are going on to this planet. And hashtag comedy ensues. We're gonna sidebar for a second to talk about Guy's last name, who he has an existential crisis with while going down to the beryllium sphere planet, which they shouldn't be going on. And Sigourney Weaver goes, you have a last name, Guy. And he's just like, do I? Do I? You know what? He doesn't, because he was written in as Guy. Because he gets killed in an episode within, like, whatever minutes. And I think it's kind of funny that they actually address that and stick with it. And I'm going to raise this drink up to you, Sam Rockwell, for being Guy so brilliantly. Is there air? You don't know. That's how I wake up every morning. Frickin' Tony Shalhoub, man. Sniff, sniff. Seems okay. Anyone else? Anyone else that would have gotten out of that door? Dead. That planet's like, Tony Shalhoub's here. We're not gonna kill him. Or his crew. Spoiler alert. So now they're on this planet, and they're looking for the sphere. And there's literally four actors. That's a lie. There's five actors on this planet. Not one alien guy. Not one. You know what would have been useful on this planet? An alien guy. But they're all making fun of Alan Rickman for not knowing how to use the navigator technology. Anyone else know how to use the alien navigator technology? No, they don't. So shut your mouths. Miners, not miners. There was no difference in inflection there. We just have to know the joke. As Americans, or Brits, or Chinese, or wherever you're from. No discrimination. Just know the difference between minors and minors. So, okay. Again, why Guy is the best character in this movie. So, they're on this planet, and they're doing stupid things. They're watching the aliens interact, and they're kind of being, like, coy about the people on, not the aliens, on the planet. And Guy's just like, hey, have you guys ever watched the show before? And he is the voice of reason. He is who we all are. As watchers, as viewers, as people. He is who we are all, who we are all rooting for. And you know what? In normal situations, I'm also rooting for Sam Rockwell in pretty much any category. Any movie, any sentence, Sam Rockwell, yo. It would normally be Alan Rickman, just FYI. But again, rest in peace. Can we also just sidebar on whatever sidebar I've already been on? And talk about how fun it would have been to make this movie. They're all in costumes. You have Tim Allen. You have Tony Shalhoub. You have Alan Rickman. You have Sam Rockwell. You have Sigourney Weaver. You have all these people. Mix in a little Justin Long. Pre-Justin Long era. You have all of these people who are just so freaking fun. And you are just rooting for them and their chemistry. And how you just get wrapped up in this movie. And how it makes you feel. And it doesn't take itself seriously, so why should you take yourself seriously? Never give up. Never surrender. Beryllium sphere up on here. Okay. So they're on this planet, they got this beryllium sphere, they put it into their car. Nope. Their spaceship, because cars don't exist in space for some reason. And they're still all a little cranky about how much cooler Tim Allen is than them. So he doesn't get onto the spaceship because all the little space critters are following him. And Alan Rickman just yells, of course, that's all the... It's always about you, isn't it? And thus the fun begins.
Tim Allen
awakes from this barely conscious stage. And he has a little voice in his ear, Sigourney Weaver, because of headsets and technology and such. And he can clearly talk to everyone, no matter how far away they are in space, because movies. And they're all yelling, go Ragnarok, go Ragnarok, go Ragnarok. And he's unfortunately beating up this pig-like creature. I say unfortunately because none of you know me, but I adore pigs. And he is beating up on this creature. And he, spoiler alert, hashtag not, oh my god, all the basic things. Oh my god, they even say words like fully operational. Come on, Star Warsians. So, he defeats this pig thing. And that's all fine and dandy. But hey, that's not Gurignac. Because it's a big rock creature. Spoiler alert. Before I even get there while watching it in the movie. And it is just one of the best moments of cinema. That's a lie. But it's pretty fun. And it's pretty entertaining. And Tony Shalhoub does this, his little magic-y thing. I think. And he first vaporizes this pig thing and turns it inside out and it explodes. And it's just the delivery of this to Malin's on this planet. And he's like, what? What was that? And they're just like, alien dude is like, it turned inside out. And then it exploded. And it's so funny. Tim Allen's all like, did I just hear that that thing turned inside out and then it exploded? First of all, a thing can't be a pig and a lizard. It can't be a pig lizard. That's a mammal and a non-mammal conforming to society. And that's harder than it looks because I don't think, you know, parts A and B align with each other as much as you think that they might have aligned with each other. That doesn't make sense. Anyways, so back on planet Druidia, or wherever it is, this rock creature comes out, and that's Gurignac. And there's a battle to the death, except neither of them end up dying, which is a lie. Well, one of them ends up kind of dying, but that really depends on how you believe rock is in space. Getting ahead of myself. Back on this planet, Tim Allen is fighting this rock creature. And they're not really fighting because one's a person and one's a rock. And I don't really think you can beat a rock in the traditional sense of like beating up somebody. So the best way to beat this is by Tim Allen having some motivational speech that ends up working in the long run. And he's just like, I know you can do this. I believe in you. I know you can save my life because the script calls for it, honestly. It's really an inside job of scripting. And that's why he survives. So he's getting thrown around in Rock Universe. And he delivers this line. And it works. And Tony Shalhoub finds his courage and saves him. And he does not turn inside out, nor does he explode. And he is just happy. And that's just where we're at on that. Even though he thinks the correlation between him not trying in acting is the same as him not trying in trying to save his life on a rock planet. Although there is no correlation. I'm really screwing myself over in the editing process here with all of my slurring. It'll be okay. I'm not that great of a person. I deserve this. They get back from the planet from getting the Baronian sphere. And they're all happy because he's not inside out. And he didn't explode. Although, one of the best lines of the film. And they're just... They have, like, about half a second before all of the bad aliens show up and are like, hey, we invaded your spaceship. So they're like, Balthazar, why aren't you answering us? And it's because they're all up in their business on the spaceship. And all the bad guys are here and they are torturing them. It's a really low point in the movie. It's very much like how you saw one of the worst years of your life before you envisioned the musical part of it, where you like have this like big buildup of like dun 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 dun, and then your life changes. It's before that part. Your life has not changed yet. You're still in the crap storm of your life. And so that's where they are in this movie. They're having a bad time. They're getting tortured. They are the underdogs, if you will, even though Tim Allen's going to survive this movie. And we just know it because he's Tim Allen, and he was paid to survive this movie, along with all of the other names that you know. That's just how Hollywood works. So we are not really afraid, because we're smart consumers. We know Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver and Alan Rickman are all going to be fine. We're good with it. But in this point in the movie, we have to be afraid. So we are, because we're good consumers. So we're like, oh my god, what's going to happen? Even though we know. So, but this is also the point in the movie where all of your feels get targeted, because the aliens, sweet, sweet aliens of the Veronica Mars Gilmore Girls Association, learn that Tim Allen and crew are fibbers. They are liars. They are actors. And they cannot be trusted. And they are shown how bad they are at this, because they show them the historical documents, even though they are just actors. And for some reason, we're supposed to feel bad about this, even though they're only actors and have done all of this incredible crap while just being actors. But I'm really just like, hey, you guys were only actors and have piloted ships, saved brilliant spheres, had motivational talks, ate bugs because apparently that's where your origins were from, didn't freak out so much that you were shown to be not cool with this. So, you know what? I don't think that they should be ashamed of themselves at all. But I am not a Hollywood filmmaker, so we are supposed to feel bad for them. And I do a little bit because they're on screen with Enrico Colleontoni, and he is just making the saddest puppy dog eyes, feeling so betrayed. Like, how could you lie to me? I don't understand. How is it all a set? How is this all a lie? And Tim Allen is really trying to explain hard how Hollywood is Hollywood, even though it's all Hollywood, which is just this weird little paradox thing that's going on in my mind, because it's Hollywood, right? Anyways, so we're at the turning point of the movie where we are in on the joke, but not everyone else is in on the joke, and we're supposed to feel bad, and we're supposed to feel sad. And we are conflicted, because as humans, we are always conflicted for some reason or another. I guess that's just the fun. But we are conflicted. And we are rooting for the good guys, who are also the liars, who are also the bad guys, but are good guys. But side note, humans are the worst. Aliens are the best. Coming back to somewhat of a reality, Saris is opening an oxygen tank to let some of the air in on some of the friends, which, if you know anything about space, humans, and I guess these types of aliens, are not supposed to inhale space oxygen, which is not oxygen, it's just space? This is a moment where I have no idea what molecules make up space matter, and
I'm not going to look it up because I've had a lot to drink. So, science.
But all of the good guys are trying to figure out how to save all of their alien friends by never giving up and never surrendering.
So,
if I use this clip, they are now reenacting a clip from episode 17 because they are inside on their own joke, which is good because it's a kind of type of diversion. Or Tim Allen and Alan Rickman are pretending to fight so that they can decoy the bad guys. And what I'm learning now on the hour and five-ish minute mark is that I should have remembered the character names, but I'm going with their actor names because I'm more sophisticated? Question mark? No, I'm lazy. And frickin' Tony Shalhoub. So they do this thing, this bit, where they're like, oh, from episode 17. And they do this fake fight thing, and they have one of the bad guys go out in space because they lure him into this oxygen tank, and then they press a button, and he goes out into space. And Tony Shalhoub is the one that actually hits this button, and he is just all like, oh my god, did you see the stick on that? I'll get one of my guys to come up and make sure that's all better. And none of them sound like that. But I'm pretty sure some of them are British, so I'm going to talk like that for a bit, because it's fun for me. And that is the charm of this movie. The charm is just, some of these things are just terrible things. Like, there's torture, there's death, there's fighting, there's blinding jealousy, and it is that's what I get for using a fancy word. Juxtaposed by this dry-ass humor of, oh, I'll get someone to fix that. Or, you know what? That's what you guys did. I knew you were going to fix it. That's it. And that is what makes this movie great. You want to make fun of it. They want to make fun of it. That's the point of it. Everyone is in on the joke. Everyone wants to make fun of it. We are in the middle of this battle. And all the bad guys are on the good guy's ship. We just took out some of the bad guys by sending them up into space. But Sarah's is still on board. We're going to come back to the Justin Long part of this story, where Justin Long is on Earth playing with a nerdy toy, making a little spaceship out of his mind, and something starts beeping. It's what he got mixed up with Tim Allen at the beginning. His face, no, that's wrong. His fake transmitter got mixed up with a real transmitter. So they accidentally traded boxes, and this is where we are at because Justin Long is going to help save the day. He's going to help. But first, there's Tim Allen. Okay, so Tim Allen, even though he starred on the show with Sigourney Weaver, knows absolutely nothing about it. And there is fanboy Justin Long, who knows everything about it. So, because it was a replica of the actual TV series from these aliens' minds, Justin Long is the best person to help out with their challenge. So, we fast forward a tad, a bit, a little bit, a schmunkin of a bit, and we get to where Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver really need to align as one, as a team, even though Sigourney Weaver has some pretty legitimate discretions about everything. This was pre-Hollywood Revolution, and really, she should have been given a bigger part, more responsibility, but we're not going to get into that in this episode. So, Justin Long is on Earth. He is telling them how everything works up in space, even though apparently somehow there is no time differentiation, even though that is something that really boggles my brain right now, because not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I am a trier. I try, apparently.
Justin Long gets all of his little friends on board, and they all have all of the intergalactic stats that go into having a spaceship of this quantity and this quality, and they get everyone together, and they have all the coordinates and everything, and they are going to help this crew survive out in space. They're going to know the sequences of when the blades fly at them. They're going to know all of the different little tricks and trades that the crew in space are going to need to know. So this is a really nice solidary friendship building part of this movie where we're really rooting for everybody except Saris, because he's a great big green dick who kills lots of people. Editor side note, drinks 1 and 2 went down a lot slower than 3 did. Okay. So we're, again, pretty far into this episode. Not episode. We're pretty far into this movie. We are at the we are at the hour and 15 minute mark of this movie. And Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver are in the, let's say, brain of the ship. The Omega 13 is basically floating above them. And they ask Justin Long and crew what the Omega 13 does. Now, these alien people have calculated and coded the Omega 13 to be what they think it is from the series. And Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver were actually on the freaking series, and they are asking Justin Long what the Omega 13 does. And he thinks it's a matter corresponder time type arranger thing, which he says much cooler than I do. And it's not about destroying matter, it's about configuring matter in a different way. How the frick would he know what it does? This is a very type of easy way out, shall we say, for the writing team to have the nobody who was just a follower of the show, none of this is actually made up, is going to determine how the core crew gets out of a sticky situation. Spoiler alert, again, it doesn't make sense. But it is a movie, a cinema. We are going to live by the rules of the game because we are really just here to talk about it, because what would we have if this didn't exist? We'd have a lot of not happiness, and that's not okay. So, all hail movies! Justin Long is now configuring them on how to get past these squisher things. Again, I'm really hoping that you have seen the movie before my talking about it, because it doesn't make sense. So now there are squishy things that are trying to squish Sigourney Weaver and Tim Allen, and then there's fire, and somehow Justin Long knows the codes about it because reasons, and that's where we're at. They superimpose big rock guy Gorignac from Act 2 and have him come to Act 3 and kind of demolish some of the bad guys who are part of the overthrowing plan and are on the ship to destroy things. So Gorignac is now this big rock monster who's going to kill bad people, which is justice. Act 3 is also where we have the first showing of intergalactic relations, where one of the aliens is making out with one of the non-alien species, which I am all for. It is only exasperated by Missy Pyle, who plays the alien, turning back into her squid-like self, which is supposed to show disgust between Tony Shalhoub and Squid Monster getting it on. But really, if they're happy, who cares? Also, I'm sure other things have happened in this movie that I haven't been paying attention to, because drinking. No! For some reason, after three champagne beverages, but like full champagne beverages, I can only think of. Oh, thank you. Okay. So, Christopher Hayden from Gilmore Girls is just shot after he was Alan Rickman's long-lost fan. And he's been the fanboy this entire time. But he just got shot by a bad guy. Not by a good guy, or else that movie would be called Friendly Fire. The bad guy shot him. And, of course, we feel bad because he was on Gilmore Girls. And he considers Alan Rickman as a father to him. And all the emotions are supposed to be felt if you have emotions. Where I don't, really. But Gilmore Girl fans across the nation are now mourning for Christopher Hayden, who now has blue goobity glick out of his mouth. But this is the moment where Alan Rickman gets real pissed and starts pawning noobs. Pony noobs? Pony noobs? Pony is selling. I don't think he's selling noobs. I think he's pony noobs. That he does, my friends. That he does. Okay, here's me just making a general assumption. Not assumption. General remark about post-Me Too era. Why the frick? Sigourney Weaver, the only main female character. I'm not saying that's the wrong part. We look up at the hour and 23 minute mark, basically. Her bra and boobs are completely showing. That is not the only reason for this woman to be on screen. And I know we've already made fun of that because of the whole, like, I have one job on the ship, it's stupid, but I'm gonna do it message. Which, again, I have said more than once on a daily basis. And I think it's just rude. It is just rude. She deserves more than that. She's Sigourney Weaver. She is Oscar nominated. She has been an alien. She's been Aliens with an S. She has been in so many good movies that hashtag my bra showing should not be the reason she's credited in this movie. Come on, Hollywood. Get your shit together. Also, it's impressive that her bra color matches the color of her uniform. And I don't mean that in a sexist way, but that's impressive. That takes coordination. Okay, so remember earlier when I talked about the potential spoiler for later on in the movie when they were in that minefield and all those mines kept effing with their ship to be blatantly obvious. The mines would attack their ship electromagnetically, and he had just been in space for about a grand total of 10 minutes, so who could blame him? No one would blame him. So, we are in space now, a whole 2 days later. I really don't know. It doesn't actually specify a duration, but let's say it's 2 to 4 days later, and he has all of this practice of steering ships now, apparently. Now he's gonna go through that same minefield, apparently, because space is small, and there's only one way in and out. And he has to go through the same electromagnetic minefield that he came in 40 minutes ago-ish in movie cinema time. And instead of running into them or them bombing into his ship, he's going to do this little tricky maneuver that he had no time to learn and is going to collect them magnetically in a way that they follow him. But don't actually attach on. And then there's some really bad smack talking that goes on between Sarahs and Tim Allen that we're going to pretend didn't exist. But then Tim Allen delivers the smackdown about how he failed to realize his ship is carrying mines. And these mines go and attack Sarah's ship because they discriminate against aliens and not humans. And so Sarah's ship just starts exploding. Pew, 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 pew. Like a lot. But there will be an energy surge that they were not expecting. At the very last second of that explosion, that will have dot, dot, dot. That was enough time for you to realize that these are spoilers. Saris popping up onto the good guy's ship and having a climax at the end of the movie where we are almost now at, because drinking makes time move faster. Okay. So I already mentioned it, but there, before the black hole, there was a resurgence from Zeros' ship. And everyone pretended to ignore it until this climax of the movie, where Saris is back because he transported from his ship or something like that, and starts killing all of the good guys. All of them. So he kills T'Malin first, and Tony Shalhoub. Scorny Weaver, I believe, is part of that massacre. Tony, we already said Tony Shalhoub, Alan Rickman also starts dying, Daryl Mitchell, pretty much everyone that we have grown and known to love over this last hour and a half journey of our lives. So it looks like for this 25 seconds-ish that Saris is winning. And this is Hollywood, and that is not going to happen. So we did mention at the middle of this conversation that Justin Long was like, hey, remember how I am a C-level character in this movie and believe that the Omega 13 is a matter rearranger? That's what it is. I bet you were surprised. And it turned back like 13 seconds or whatever of time, just enough so that T'Malin had this heads up about what was about to happen. So he is able to stop Saris and his evil plan to murder everyone, which is frowned upon. And he is able to stop the massacre from happening. But his little friends just don't help pretty much at all. And they arrive back at what I can only assume is the San Diego convention center, and Saris pops a little bit back out, and everyone believes that he is just an actor, and T'Malin shoots him down like nobody's business, just shoots him down in cold daylight. And I'm not gonna say that's how the movie ends, but it's pretty much how the movie ends. Hey, what's the buzz about? Pew pew, pew 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 pew.
I think that was a mixture between this actual Galaxy Quest song that I'm trying to sing and the Star Wars song. Was that on purpose?